our beliefs and our intentions in those songs, and I trust that they really are inspirational for us and instructional as well. Bill and Kathy Britton are here. Bill is the president of Baptist Children's Home and his wife working alongside. I have the opportunity this week to read a bit of a biography of Bill and Kathy. Their son Tommy is here as well. And because at Clark Summit University, they were honored this just recently at the homecoming ceremonies at the school, I read a little bit of a biographical description of these folks, and I want to share it with you. Bill Britton grew up right in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania, as the youngest of eight children. After his parents' death, he was raised by his older brothers and sisters, and at 21 years of old age, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior through the testimonies of his two brothers. He then attended Heritage Baptist Church, where he was baptized by Pastor Milo Thompson, who was a former Clark Summit University president. Bill attended Clark Summit University, where he noticed a pretty and talented chapel pianist, and graduated then in 1990, and that chapel pianist is sitting at our piano now, still at the piano. For Kathy, music education was her major, and of course the pianist at the chapel times at Clark Summit University. She was raised in Auburn, New York. She trusted Christ at Second Baptist Church through the influence of several godly Sunday school teachers. Sunday school teachers, thank you for your work in ministry. Thank you. She heard about Clark Summit University from students nearby local church where she attended high school, and she visited the campus and then decided to go there, and she graduated in 1987 and married Bill that summer. They had a daughter and became house parents with Baptist Children's Home in St. Louis, Michigan. Bill later became a house parent supervisor and then director and then vice president of Baptist Children's Home. Kathy served as an adjunct faculty member and teaching piano at Valparaiso University and as director of fine arts in their church. They both served at Trinity Baptist Church in Michigan for 14 years in roles like deacon, Awana workers, Sunday school teachers, and in the music ministry before Bill was called to be the pastor. So for all of you who have served in all of those various capacities, you know that's been the route, right? In those ways. Together, they travel almost every weekend preaching, ministering, and music. And of course, after that pastorate time, he was called to be the president of Baptist Children's Home. And as such, gives leadership and care for nearly 900 orphaned, needy, and disadvantaged children in the United States, India, Liberia, Myanmar, and Nepal. It goes on to talk about some other things, but they've been honored just recently at Clark Summit University as ones receiving the Outstanding Service Award, and we get to hear from them today. It's our privilege to partner with Baptist Children's Home in helping get the gospel into this one needy aspect of people in the world. We partner with many ministries and with many families and individuals in that endeavor. We're glad this year to highlight the work of Baptist Children's Home. Kathy will lead us in worship as she plays, and then after that, Bill will come and preach. I want to encourage you to come, of course, again to Sunday School Hour, and we'll hear much of the foreign influence and ministry of Baptist Children's Home, and we hear from the Word of God and its impact, of course, during our worship service, and we're delighted to be able to welcome them and Tommy, their son, here with them today. And we want to be able to have our hearts instructed and encouraged in the truth of our responsibility to take an authentic gospel all around our workplace and our schools and around the world. And we are privileged to partner with these fine folks and their ministry in that endeavor. Thank you.
I thought she did pretty well with that two-legged piano. I told Pastor, you get a good deal on this piano because it's missing one leg? Actually, beautiful piano. Turn, if you will, in your Bible to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Have you ever felt like you moved from having a name to just being a number? I remember when I first went to college, and it wasn't Baptist Bible College or Clark Summit University. It was a secular university, and I was all signed up to go to this college. Of course, you show up with your bags, and I wait in a long registration line. I get to the end of the registration line, and I tell them my proper name, William Joseph Britton. And by the way, now you know everything about me, so we've given up the farm. And William Joseph Britton, and they said they didn't want to know my name. They wanted to know my Social Security what? Number. What a weird thing to go from having a name to just being a number. Some of you have been in the military, you understand name, rank, and what? Serial number. And then there's others who have been in prison. They've been given numbers on uniforms, some of them. There have been people who have been in internment camps and concentration camps. Some of them have been given numbers as well. What does it mean to go from having a name to just being a number? And we're going to see that as we go down through this story. First of all, I love the Bible because it's true. Amen? We need some truth, and how else to know the Bible's true than just think of this. Jesus' disciples, who would write the foundational information for the church, would write embarrassing stories about themselves in the books and letters they'd write. You know what I mean? It's a true story. And Jesus included these true stories for us so that we can grow along with his disciples. Amen? But I want you to think about Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry was very much an in-gathering. He told those former fishermen, I will make you fishers of what? Men. And so is one person inviting another person to introduce them to someone who could change their life. And of course, that's Jesus Christ. So Andrew told Simon Peter, his brother. Philip told Nathaniel. And the movement was very much an in-gathering. And we're going to see what's happened here because something's changed. So follow along with me in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. It says this, and they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but his disciples rebuked those who brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Or surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. So look, it says they brought little children to him. It's interesting, it doesn't say that they were parents, it says they were adults. So you know there's a lot of children who are being cared for by people other than their biological parents, amen? A lot of people being cared for that way. And it's interesting that it doesn't say parents, but they were bringing children to him. And these could have been children who could walk beside the adults, maybe some who would be held by the hand, but some young enough that even need to be held in adults' arms. And they were bringing their children to Jesus. It says they brought him to them that he might touch them. Now, even as a pastor of a church, I know that I'm a special person in relationship to the people of the church as a pastor. So it'd really be fun to go to the hospital after someone had just given birth to a child. And, I've never been pregnant, and I've never gone through labor, so I want to make sure the mom is okay. And if I find out she's okay, eventually I'll say to them, would you mind if I held the baby? Well, you'd think that the lights had dimmed, a little spotlight, and it's like Lion King. You know, they're handing their baby up to the pastor, you know, because we're special people, just the way my pastors were. And I'll always pray for that baby in a similar way. Father, would you allow this baby to walk with you the way that we walk with you? It's a very tactile prayer because I believe when children come to this world, our God is still on the throne and he wants a relationship with them. So that's what we're praying for, because when we bring children into this world, it's sad to hear. Some people say, well, I wouldn't want to bring children into a world like this. Well, it's too bad. They really have a low view of God's sovereignty. We can bring children into this world because our God is in this world. And so that's what what's happening is these parents and these people who are caring for the children are bringing the children to be prayed for by the rabbi. Let's just say that, by the traveling. Because, you know, even Jesus' disciples were trying to figure out all who Jesus was. But they're bringing their children to the man of God to have them pray for them. Now, I remember being in India back in 2004. 300 people were sitting out in the hot sun. I was under a thin canopy. A couple of Indian guys preached first. Then I preached last. I was so hot and tired, I didn't even want to hear myself preach, which is pretty amazing for a loud mouth like me. But I didn't, and I prayed, God, would you get me through it? And it was interesting because we got done preaching, and then they brought two chairs. They put them down in front. There was a long arduous. I'm not even saying that right. Arduous? I'm not still saying it coming out right. service. It was long and bad. No, it was long and tough. And they brought chairs down. They said, now all the people want you to pray for them. And they all stood up and formed a giant line to pray for. They wanted us to pray for them individually. They wanted us to pray for them for families. People were putting their children in our laps. And why I'm saying that story is because that's what I believe is happening here. You know, Jesus attracted a crowd. Amen? And so there was all kinds of people. And it's not easy when you're trying to manage a crowd. And I think the disciples just thought, we're going to do some crowd management here to deal with this situation. And it's not an easy situation. So the disciples had a plan. Look what it says. And they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. So Jesus' disciples decided they were going to weed out the crowd. They were going to prioritize in their mind who they thought needed to see Jesus, and of course, those who didn't. And of course, these parents and these people with the little children can wait. We're not going to let this degenerate into some kind of children's meeting. You know, Jesus had important people to talk to, important issues to address. So the disciples started sending away these people with the children. Now, I don't know about you, but I found out that sometimes children have questions. Did you ever find that out? And if you're going to make children wait for anything, you better have some good reasons. So I imagine some of these kids were really built up by the adults who were there of why they were waiting in this line to see Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, they're told by Jesus' friends, you can leave. And some of them may have been very disappointed about that. And certainly the adults were disappointed. And maybe even some of them cried about that. They were waiting so long, and now they're just told they could go. And what's strange in the story, I don't think is even what the disciples are doing. I mean, it kind of makes sense in some human way. What's surprising is Jesus' response to what the disciples did. What the disciples just thought was good crowd control, or maybe we could say ministry prioritizing or ministry goals. But notice what happened is Jesus' ministry at this moment changed from an ingathering to an organizing, judging, and managing of people. And we have to be careful about that because churches and organizations can lose focus. You know how it is where you work. It would be so easy to work here if it just weren't for the customers, you know? In this hospital, it would be so much easier to work here if it just weren't for the patients, you know? And I hate to say it, but sometimes even pastors and Christian workers, you know, it would be so much easier if, you know, if it just weren't the people in the congregation or the people in the business meeting, you know? It would all be so much easier. And we lose focus that the ministry, and especially love the word that you have there, compassion. All ministries are compassion ministries because God loves the world. It's all compassion. And we need to understand that it's all people-centric. It is. It's about people. Well, here we'll look at Jesus. Look at verse 14. And when Jesus saw this, he was a little unhappy. Is that what it says? No. As a matter of fact, Jesus is having a very strong emotional response and reaction to what his disciples are doing. And I believe he was mad, and they could see it, and they could hear it. And I'm sure it shocked the disciples because they just thought they were doing some ministry scheduling or some prioritizing, but he was quite upset. And, you know, Jesus had important people to teach, maybe rebuke a hypocritical Pharisee or Sadducee, maybe even a Roman leader, maybe some healing or some other big miracle that needed to be done, but, you know, not this kid stuff. Look what Jesus said to them. He says this, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." And I think Jesus' disciples are scratching their head thinking, I thought we were building the kingdom of God. And this is my way of putting it. My disciples, you think the crowds are a problem, and you see these people with children getting in the way, but it's you who are getting in the way of letting them come to me. Let them come to me, and you get out of the way. It's an interesting thing, because it would be these people who will lead the gospel around the world. And Jesus is telling them, back up. You've heard the word before, the story before about Jesus' disciples who are out on the lake all night and they're fishing and they don't catch anything. Sorry, I know we're near water. There's enough fishermen and fisherwomen in here who had true life fishing stories. And Jesus yells out to them and he says, throw your net on the other side of the boat, the right side. And these former professional fishermen are like, hey, the fishing's normally not better on one side of the boat than the other, but since Jesus told us to do it, we'll do it. And they throw their net out, and they spread the net out all the way on the other side of the boat. Then, of course, the net is so full that these fishermen are paddling with all their strength, trying to get back to shore before their boat sinks. And it's interesting, that story, because obviously it's a miracle, amen, of all those fish. But the end of the story ends with a very interesting thing. It says, and the net didn't what? break. Anybody who's fished with nets knows that that's a real problem with a net. I just want to say this. When it comes to the gospel, spread out the net and pull in the net. Quit worrying about what kind of fish are in that net. Now, I remember the first time I had fished. I've fished in fresh water, where I'm northeastern Pennsylvania, where I'm from. But then I went to fish in the ocean. That was a whole different story. And I remember fishing one time, and I pulled up this fish. And there was real fishermen next to me, you know. And I pull up this fish, and it was called a skate. Now, a skate looks like a ray. And he's shaped like a diamond. He's all white on the bottom. He has a mouth that's about this round with big teeth pointing all the way in. So as I pulled him in, I made a very manly, you know, as I pull in this fish. And I'm like, this is one ugly and dangerous fish. And the man next to me goes, would you like me to take that off your hook? And I'm like, you know, yes. I just want to say this about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to bring in some weird fish. Fish like you and fish like me. Pull in the net. Pull in the net. We need to get back to inviting people to meet our Lord. You know, if you were that last parent in line or you were that last child in line, wouldn't it be important to know, for you to know that you are a priority to Jesus? That you weren't just another face in the crowd or some kid? You know how we treat kids where we kind of say, just get to Sunday school or do what you're supposed to do. We say things like, children are to be seen and not to be what? Oh, you've heard that one. And we dismiss children. And frankly, this message, by the way, is not about children all. This message is about all kinds of people that we dismiss and overlook. And as a matter of fact, that's why Jesus is saying this lesson. That's why he's saying you got to be like a child. He's using the children. Because in any culture or in any people group, the most vulnerable people in that people group are children. Because they can't vote. They don't have any money. They're not powerful. They can't beat you up. They don't own guns. I mean, they're children. And so if the adults don't stand up for children, who will? And so Jesus is using a very powerful illustration with his disciples. See, children are a priority to God. Amen? They are. They aren't just potential people. They are people with lives and feelings and souls and dreams. They need aspiration and love. And they need God's blessing the way that we all do. Just think about this. The Bible says that presently, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding for who? Who's he praying for? Yes, right now. And I imagine if Jesus' prayers right now are important at the right hand of the Father, I imagine they were important when his feet walked with his disciples and when they met some people who had children who wanted to be blessed and prayed for. So that's how important it is to bring these children. You know, those children were just not a number in the crowd. They mean something to God. Now, there was a lady, she was a born-again Christian, and she worked in a public school, and she worked in elementary school in the cafeteria. And the children would get their trays, come up and get their food, you know, cream corn, hairnets, and stainless steel spoons, you know. They'd come up and get their food. But in that elementary school, there was a boy there whose father had just died. And earlier, his mother had died, and so he was an orphan boy. And this born-again Christian lady just decided every time she'd see that boy, she'd pray for him. So that's what she did when the boy would come in. Well, of course, eventually the boy left elementary school and was out of this lady's life. Well, years later, she was in church, and the pastor gave a message. And after the message, he said, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you want to rededicate yourself to the Lord, come forward and meet me down here. Well, after that invitation, a young 20-something-year-old came and started walking down, and this woman was sitting in the pew. And she leaned over to her husband, and she said, do you know who that young man is? And he had heard the name of the young man out in the foyer and whispers it into his wife's ear, and she immediately begins to cry. You know who it is, don't you? It was that boy that she prayed for all those years ago in the elementary school. That church was Heritage Baptist Church, Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. That woman was Cheryl Brock, and that 20-something-year-old young man was me. And the only thing I ever knew about Cheryl Brock after I came to Christ is that she was a woman who saw me with compassion and prayed for me. And I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. You see, Cheryl Brock saw the world through the eyes of Jesus. The same eyes that Jesus is trying to give to his disciples and the same eyes he's trying to give us. But you know, as adults and as a church today, we've been all jaded and hurt by our culture, amen? There's a lot of things going on. There's bad stuff going on. We're living in a post-Christian culture, and it's very hard for us, some of us who have been around, us older people. We've seen these sad changes. And we can go from pulling in the nets to sorting out and complaining about people, and there's a difference. And we have to know the difference between that. You know, and James warned about it. The brother of Jesus says, sometimes you get people, you got to understand, you get turned around. We all get turned around. There's a rich guy here, and you're like paying attention to that rich guy, and these poor people, they're trying to make their way into the service, and you're paying no attention to them. James is like, you understand, my brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, never treated people that way. And so quit judging people wrongly and understand that it's a default setting for us to kind of want to do that. Look at James goes on in verse 15. Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And this is my way of putting it. Disciples, you don't need to manage the line of the people who are waiting to see me. Disciples, you don't need to manage the line of the people who are waiting to see me. You just need to get in it yourself. Be like a humble child yourself. You see, we are fish who fish. And Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, you're children. And when you're children, you're powerful. What do we call children? What are children referred to when we fill out our taxes? What are they called? Dependents. That's what he's getting his disciples to do. Disciples, never get so big that you aren't dependents. We are fish who fish. We need God's help as much as the most ungodly people need God's help in this community and communities in the world. Amen? We need God's help just as much. And that's what keeps us effective. You've heard the old cut down that it says something like this: he or she has a face that only their mother could love. It's a sad thing to say. But isn't it good to know that even all of us, even the youngest of us and seemingly least important of us, have faces that not only our mothers could love, but faces that our Savior knows and loves. You see, in the reality of that picture that I described of people all pushing along and wanting to see Jesus, you see, we're the last child in line. We're the last child in line. We would have no business with a holy God if it weren't for Jesus beckoning us to himself. Amen? And paying for the penalty for our sins and giving us mercy that enables us to interface with the holy God. Amen? And so when it comes to Christ, we're all completely dependent, just like children. Well, Jesus' rebuke of his disciples is a very strong, visceral lesson I think they'll never forget. And some of you may know the book. It's written by Dr. Seuss. Horton hears a... good, well-read church. That's good. Horton hears a who. And Horton is an elephant, and he's walking through the jungle one day, and down from the sky falls a dust speck, and on this dust speck is a microscopic world that needs help. And Horton is walking around, you can see the picture, with the clover, and on the clover is the dust speck. And he goes and he tells the other animals about this world, but they can't hear or see the world, so they don't believe that the world exists. And so they kind of put down Horton, and they think he's a fanatic. And eventually, for Horton's own good, they decide they need to destroy the dust speck, so they're going to boil it in hot bezel nut oil. And the animals tie up Horton, and Horton is telling the world, cry out louder. But even when the world cries out its loudest, it's just a whisper. And so they have Horton tied up. They're pulling him toward the pot of boiling bezel nut oil, and the world's about to be destroyed, and Horton is fighting with all his strength. And at the last moment, that world just cries out loud enough for one of the animals to hear. And Horton saved that world. And in his wisdom, Dr. Seuss wrote the moral of that story in the form of a proverb. And if you know it, say it with me. I'm going to have everybody say it with me. A person is a person no matter how small. Would you say it with me? A person is a person no matter how small. And Horton saved that world. Now, what was the way that Jesus rebuked his disciples? Every last child that they were going to send away, he went out and found, and he blessed and prayed for every single one of them. And if you know your New Testament at all, you'll know Jesus, and I won't get everybody here, so bless you all, be like the Pope. he can do multiple blessings. I don't know how he gets away with that, but... But if you know your New Testament at all, you'll know Jesus has an experience with his disciples, and they don't completely understand it. And they'll say to him in the Greek, hey, can you explain that to me? And there's no explanation in this passage. You know why? Because they got it, and they will not disregard people again. They will not. As a matter of fact, they will give their lives to go to the ends of the earth for these people. So I would just say this. Isn't it good to be a child of our Lord? This is the way that he feels about you. Amen? And I would say this. If there's something that's holding you back from coming to Christ, I don't know what it is. There are some people who think that I've joined a cult, I've joined some religion, I've made a deal with the devil, I can never come to the Lord. I can tell you this. Jesus Christ came to undo the work of the devil. Amen? And he has power over the devil. So I don't know who's here in this room right now with this many people. There's someone who thinks I've done something so bad I can't come to Christ. I'll tell you this. Christ came to seek and save those who are lost. If you are super lost, he's super strong to save you. And that's what it's all about. Now I want to show you a presentation of the Baptist Children's Home work. Where's this? Oh, it's back there. Okay, I need to come to... I guess I can see it up there, but that seems wrong. Okay. Some of you have seen on TV or something where you saw a ministry that's working with poor and needy people. Now, we work with over 800 orphan, needy, and disadvantaged kids, and you'll see these things on TV, and your heart breaks out, and you think, is that true, that kind of poverty and that kind of need? I can tell you it is true. And if you have any compassion when you see that, because Americans, we're so hardened to advertising. You know, even now as I speak, there are people in here saying, oh, now, here's the coming, the sales. And it is. I'm going to have to give you a sales pitch. I hope it's with the Holy Spirit's power. And this is the way that we show kindness to kids, and that's the way I show it, because that's the way I have to describe it, because I don't think you can look at children without kindness coming out in your heart. You know what I mean? They need compassion and help. In all these different ways, we share the gospel and disciple and bring kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and I'll describe those quickly as we go through here. But I want to tell the story of three of our kids. This is Ginman Loon. He is from northeastern India, and tribal fighting is not uncommon. Fighters broke into their house. The brother and father were in one room. He was in another room with his mother, and they killed his father and brother. Immediately in those third world countries, if you lose the father, you are plummeted into poverty. So if they weren't in poverty before, and they probably were, they definitely are now. And we'll pick up his story. And this is Uma Devi. You'll meet Vijaya, her sister. The father was a rickshaw puller, you know, someone who pulls a cart with people or supplies in it. He stepped out in front of a truck one day and was killed. The mother had stomach cancer. And then 3 months later, after the father dies, she dies of a heart attack. So these girls have no one. And they had to go live with their grandfather, who's disabled, and we'll pick up his story as we go down through. This is Avante. He's from the other lake down. That's where I live, on Lake Michigan. He's from Gary, Indiana. Anyone familiar with Gary, Indiana? Well, in Gary, Indiana, recently in the newspaper, they said there was 8,700 abandoned homes in Gary, Indiana, just to give you an idea. It's a tough place to grow up. And he was abandoned by his mother. He was placed in more state foster homes than he could even know or understand. And then there was a time when he actually went to go live back with his mother, and his mother had other children from other men. And she didn't care for the guy who Avante was the father of, so Avante wasn't allowed to call her mother. So just think about that. What would that do to you socially, psychologically, spiritually? And we'll pick up his story. But how do we care for kids? We have four group homes, and a mother and a father are the missionaries to raise these kids. And by the way, I need some of these missionaries right now. And they're full-time positions. And this is how Kathy and I started with the children's home. There was 5 children waiting for us, and soon they added 3 more. Plus, we had one of our own when we started. So we had 9 children that we were caring for. It is God's design for the family, a mother and a father who raise the kids. We say we work hard and we play hard, and we do. All our kids are responsible and do all kinds of things. But I'll tell you this, our kids do everything else that any other kid does in the community, involved in sports and church and everything. It's a lot like a normal life. It's just a bigger family. And by the way, you heard, I'm the youngest of 8 kids anyway, so I know big family. And then we say memory-making celebrations. That's just saying this. Some of these kids have been deprived before they came to the children's home. So we want to make sure that we remember their birthday. We want to make sure that they have good times at Christmas, Thanksgiving, Resurrection Sunday, all these things. Go on vacation, some of them, for the first time in their life, and all these things. And then very much teaching them the Word of God. The Baptist Children's Home has been a leader in the biblical nouthetic counseling movement. And all our house parents, we train in biblical counseling so that they're able to not only talk to the kids, but really use the Bible effectively to raise our kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our 4 group homes, 1 in Indiana and 3 in Michigan, kids come from all over the country to our homes. So we travel from Florida to New England to California and all those places, and especially including in Ohio. where our kids come from who need help. And because we're not funded by the government, it's all individuals and churches. Our $1.5 million budget means we don't accept or reject any kids based on money, praise the Lord, because of faithful churches like you. And so kids come from all over the country. And by the way, all the pictures you're seeing behind me are kids in our care. So, also foster care. Now, just think about this. The state of Ohio is paying Christians to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So I'm telling you, we as Christians need to take up this offer from them, because we can get these kids into Christian homes. We can get these kids sometimes the first time for church, for Sunday school, and kids come to know Christ. So even though you're too far away from us to be our foster parents, we want to encourage you to become foster parents right here where you are. It's a great ministry. My foster son just came to one of our family, actually came to the ceremony at Clark Summit University, and I had him stand up. What a better testimony of the work of the children's home to have my foster son with his wife stand up and their three kids. What a beautiful thing. So foster care, it's a great. And here's Gim Min Loon. 3 years later, just think about this, his mother remarried, and then think about this, he wasn't welcome into the new family. And you see, that happens sometimes. There are kids who are released, if you will, from a family because the family has changed. And that happened to him. And it happens here in the U.S. as well. You think, oh, she got remarried. He's got a new family. No, he was kicked out of the family because he was from a former relationship. And that's very sad. And then he went to go live with his grandfather, who was poor and unable to care for him. And we'll pick up his story. And here's Uma Devi. The grandfather who inherited the two girls because the parents died was a construction worker. And of course, in India, when they do construction, it's a lot of physical work. And he was working on a construction site, and his wife was with them, the grandmother, and they wear that Indian sari, you know, that wraparound kind of dress. And she got too close to the cement mixer, and it pulled her in and killed her. And so the grandfather, who's already disabled, lost his wife 10 years ago, and now he's inheriting his two grandchildren, who he loves very much, but he doesn't have the strength or the money or anything. There's no welfare system there. He's stuck. He's very poor. And so we'll pick up their story as well. And here's Avante. God used some caring adults who knew about the Baptist Children's Home, told the mom about the Baptist Children's Home, and were able to get him into our care. And then he came into our care, but of course a boy like this would have a lot of defenses up, but now his defenses are coming down. And that's good. So he's kind of coming out of his shell, and he's doing better. And that's a great thing. And he shadowed the house father. So whatever the house father wanted to do, that's what Avante wanted to do. That's the way it is. Kids, you know, pick up from their parents. And then I wrote that he likes to play with Legos, because that was true. And now Safe Families for Children is a nationwide movement that the Baptist Children's Home is partnering with. And what Safe Families for Children is doing is it's helping families who are facing crisis like job loss, extended illness, extended hospitalization, sometimes people going into drug rehab programs, sometimes people even going into jail. And there aren't family members or churches to help them. And actually, one of the bigger referral sources to Safe Families is the state. So basically, the state is asking the church for help. So we recruit Christian families that would be willing to take these children temporarily into their home. They're able to do it by power of attorney. Every family is given fingerprinted and background checked and given about 10 hours of training and then a coach to coach them through the placement of these kids. And this is only temporary. It says 2 days to 2 years. A lot of these are young kids, and it's not all that long of a time that they're with the families. But for some of these kids, and there's no money that exchanges hands, even like in foster care, this is all voluntary. So it's a very strong witness to these families that the only reason these people do it are for the reasons you're celebrating. Is they do it because they love God and they love people. And so some of these kids, for their first times, are going to church for the first time, hearing the gospel for the first time. The kids are not only getting saved, but the family members many times will come to the church. We just took in two kids recently, and when they came in, it was one of these boys' birthday. So here, tragedy happens to the family. The mother loses her house, has to place the kids because she has no home. And then that weekend, it's the boy's birthday. So what did the church do? The church decided, we're having an all-church birthday party for this boy we don't know. And they invited the mother. What a powerful testimony of love to that child and to that mother. So we promote Safe Families for Children wherever we go. Now, adoption. The Baptist Children's Home has placed over 1,000 children for adoption, and a lot of children in Ohio. Anyone here know of someone who adopted a child through the Baptist Children's Home in Ohio here? Okay, there's one hand anyway. And how about other people who've adopted children or know people who adopted? Or been adopted? There's some adoptees in here. There's a hand back there. Anyway, I always say this. If you've been adopted, you have a story. Amen? And we need to stop thinking of kind of adoption as like plan B. If adoption was plan B, God wouldn't say that, he wouldn't describe our relationship with him as being adopted. Amen? We've all been adopted. So when I say, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, you've been adopted. Amen? And that's the way it is. We all come into the family. So we love adoption. And there's pictures of our kids. Now, all this international stuff, I want you to save for Sunday school, please. I know some of you may be allergic to Sunday school hour, but I want you to come anyway. You'll survive it. And what I'm going to do is, there's just too much stuff with the foreign stuff for me to talk about it right now. But we're caring for all these kids. We're caring for, in India, we're caring for 365 kids. In Nepal, we're caring for 6 kids, 125 kids in Myanmar, and 360 kids in Liberia in all these different ways. And I'll describe those to you and tell you some more stories about what we're doing. Now, just to finish out with the stories of the kids, here's Kim Min Loon, and he lived where our house father was from. That's how we learned about this boy's story. And then, praise the Lord, he was able to come into our home. But just think about this. Last year, or actually 2 years ago now, his grandfather died, even the poor one. So this boy wouldn't have had anyone in the world. So that's my point. And here's a picture of Kim Min Loon. If we didn't care for him, this boy soon wouldn't have had anyone in the world who had any connection with him. And that's me with him. And here's Uma Devi. Their grandfather, who is a Christian, heard about the children's home. And he was so glad to get the kids into our love home. The name of that home was called the Love Home. And this is what Uma Devi says. This place is a nice place for me. They're caring for me nicely. The girls now consider their love home house parents as their parents. They've bonded with their caregivers. And that's a great thing. And there's a picture of me standing in front of the grandfather. And I don't know if you can see, he's hiding his staff under his cloak there coming out the bottom. And he loves those girls. He's just physically, in every way, financially, in every way, he can't care for them. So he's so glad to be able to know that his girls are being cared for. They're lovely girls. And here's Avante. Avante trusted Jesus Christ as Savior at summer camp. And I was just talking to someone at Lake Ann. Lake Ann is one of the places where our kids go to camp. And they love the children's home. They really help out there. And then he really enjoys reading about the Bible. But I'll tell you this. You got to be careful when you feed these kids, okay? Because this is what happens when you feed them. They get taller than you are. And that's Invante and me at our bike-a-thon this year. And he's a nice boy. And then I would just finish out here. Would you be a part of their story? Now, obviously, your church has. You guys have been faithfully supporting us for years, and we thank you for that. We could not do it without that. And but we have a program for individuals and families called our Care Share program. And we just say this. For $25 or more a month, if you'll support the children's home, we'll send you a letter every month from one of our homes that will just give you a way to pray for those children and update you on what's going on. If you can't afford the $25, please sign up anyway. We don't want to keep anyone back. We know some can afford, and some can afford a lot more than $25. And half our money comes from churches and half from individuals, so that's just called Care Share. And if you want one of those brochures, do you have them? Kathy has one. If you just want it, she'll give it to you. Just slip your hand up. She'll give you one of those brochures. Then other ways, increase church support. The Baptist Children's Home has grown in the number of its kids that it's caring for. Just put your hand up if you want one. And also, by the way, we could care for twice as many kids in every country where we work in if God would give us the money to do that. As a matter of fact, I just visited Haiti, and they really wanted some help down there. But I can't until we have more money because we're already caring for all these kids. So then also you can check us out online. You'll see our website, Estate Gifts. People leave money in their estate to the children's home. It's a beautiful thing. Just recently we had someone who they'd had an insurance policy, and we were the beneficiaries of their insurance policy. It was kind of a neat thing. And then gifts in kind. The vehicle that we drove here is a gift from someone. Actually, when I was in Florida meeting one of our donors, the lady said she's selling a car. She's having trouble selling it. She turned out donated us. We had to drive a car back, a 2008 Buick LaCrosse, and it hit 30,000 miles on our way north. So that's pretty good. And then volunteering, we have whole groups that come up, especially to our campus in Michigan, in mid-Michigan, where we have 120 acres there. It's a great place to meet the kids, meet the staff, and spend some quality time. And there's all kinds of skilled and non-skilled jobs there. And then just sign up for more information. These are just some of our projects. A gym, this gym still needs about $40,000 to $50,000 worth of work. It has new floors, new walls. It was built in the early 60s. That's one of our projects. This is another one of our homes. We need $65,000 to build a home. Right now, these kids are living in a school, and that's not a good situation for them, the 15 boys in that home. And you'll learn more about that. Then if you want to stay connected to the children's home, you want to give to BCH, you can text to that number. If you want to join our prayer and praise email list, you can go BCH Kids to that number there. And then it's hard to remember the Baptist Children's Home website. It's baptistchildrenshome.org, okay? baptistchildrenshome.org. And a pastor and for the church, from all the children, especially if some of you have to leave, just really heartfelt from the children, from the staff, we can't do this without you. So Lord bless you and thank you very much. Thanks.
Well, Bill and Kathy, thank you for giving us the opportunity to participate in such an important thing. You sometimes hear about these well-known organizations, Compassion International and some of these kinds of things, where you are given an opportunity to really make a personal difference. And here is one where not only are you making a personal difference, and not only are you doing so in a way that really impacts the kids spiritually, not just in their physical needs, and that of course is important, but in their spiritual needs. But you know that spiritual need is coming, that help is coming from our perspective, our understanding of God's word and the impact of the gospel in that way. So everything that's good about trying to reach out in compassion in that way, we represent well with an organization like this, Baptist Children's Home. So I encourage your interest and your participation and your compassion. That's really what we want to be able to say is happening among us, right? That the Lord is stirring that compassion within us. And it may well end up as something we partner with individually or even more as a church, but this is something that we want to intentionally ask the Lord to fan that flame in us. And there may well be something at your work or at your school or in your neighborhood that the Lord would continue to do. And as a result of seeing this heart of compassion that the Lord would cultivate in us. Would you stand with me, please? Let's think of our response to the Lord and how it might be with this particular aspect. A special gift today, the envelopes that are in the pew right in front of you. We'll give the way we always give, and part of our regular giving every week goes to all of our missionary agencies and families. So there's a sense in which we give every Sunday to Baptist Children's Home and to all of our missions. But in a special way, since we've had the privilege and opportunity of having the Britons here today, if you'd like to give a special love offering, we would encourage that as well and simply designate it in your giving and so that we'd know how to channel it in that way. They are a part of what we are as a church family, and I'm glad for that. And just want to know, every time we get together, it isn't just about ministry in Sandusky, Ohio. That's why we reserve the month of October to make sure we're all fully aware of that. Every time we get together and we pray and we give and we get together on Wednesday night and pray and all, we're praying about the fruitfulness of the gospel literally around the world, but in specific ministries and in specific ways. And even as we're hearing about these three children highlighted, that really represents what, almost 1,000 kids, really. And so you get to see some names in individual ways that you're really making a difference. And praise the Lord for that. Now, Lord, I pray that you would continue this work in our heart. This is something we're intentionally asking you to do. So as we sing and as we begin to respond, put it in our hearts what we should do. We open ourselves to your work in us today. In your name we pray. Let's sing together.
In my in our home.
to worship the Lord in giving as our ushers arrive at the door, and then we'll assemble here in just a moment and begin again to hear on the international flavor and impact of Baptist Children's Home as well. Now, Lord, thank you for this church family. Thank you, Lord, for the Britons and the dedication of their lives in this particular avenue of ministry. May we be able to partner well together that the gospel would prosper and succeed and give forth great fruit in your hand of blessing, even using us. Thank you for that privilege in Jesus' name.